Hi, my name is Matt Zimmer, and I'm with Beacon Hill Press here in Kansas City, Missouri. And today I'm joined with my friend, Debbie Salter Goodwin, who has authored several books on how to raise children and things of that nature. And today we're just talking about her new book that's to be released in March 2009. It's called Raising Kids to Extraordinary Faith. And Debbie, I want to welcome you to Kansas City today so we can talk about this.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
It's great to have you. Well, let's just jump right into the conversation, Debbie, and talk a little bit about what the book is about and what we can expect as parents reading this book. Most parents have a desire to be great parents, I would say. And in your book, Raising Kids to Extraordinary Faith, you speak especially to Christian parents. You make the Christian parents need to do more than raise good kids who go to church. They need to raise disciples. Can you expand on that a little bit for us?
Yes. One of the things that I explored as I got into the writing was that there's a difference between Christian parenting and discipling. And some of us don't understand the difference. Christian parenting focuses on the parents doing the right thing by Christian principles. But discipling focuses on the child. It's all about the child hearing from Jesus himself, hearing his call, and accepting that call and understanding that that call will present an adventure that no one else can present.
Yeah. So would you say it's a matter of not just, and I'm going to throw out some big words here, orthodoxy, but an orthopraxy?
Yeah, absolutely. It is not about just passing on information, because you can't disciple somebody by information. You disciple someone with your life. That's where it gets to be a little scary for some of us parents, because it means we must open our lives, the life we have in Christ, open it for our children to see. In fact, several times I've asked in the book, if your child develops the same prayer life that you have, will it be enough for the next generation? If your child is learning from the Bible itself, the most important truths, the way you are, is that going to be enough to get them into the next generation?
Wow, that's a great question, because as I have pastored over the years, and you and your husband have pastored, it's simple to see, and no fault to you parents out there, but it is easy to fall into the trap of, well, I'm going to let the church handle this, and because there might be some fear there of in-home, quote-unquote, devotions or the family altar, and so parents may want to do that. But how does that unfold, and how comfortable will they be with all that? I think those are all legitimate questions, would you say?
They are legitimate questions, and that's where the partnership really has to come in. This has to be a partnership between parents and ministry workers. We have meetings in schools about the progress of our children in academic areas. I'm not sure why we can't have meetings with our parents about the progress that is being made in spiritual areas. I think we're uncomfortable with that. I think there are some ways we can do it to make us all a little bit more intentional and accountable.
Right. That's a good point. Well, Debbie, you mentioned the importance of teaching our children to become independent learners. And we've heard the concept of independent learners in the secular arena. Can you share with us why it's so important in the spiritual life of a child?
Oh, it is so important, because there's going to be a day when that child will grow into a young adult, and then it will be the skills that they have developed. It will be the conversations they have already had with Jesus that will propel them into their life. That's what becoming an independent learner means. If we're only transferring information, and I mean, we need to know Bible stories, and we need to know Bible history and things like that, but if that's what our information is about, that's still not the life we seek in Christ. So for a child to become an independent learner, they've got to understand prayer, that conversation with Jesus themselves. So there's got to be open conversation. You know, what did Jesus tell you about this situation? And you ask your children that. and you find out how they are searching for God's answers. The same way with scriptures. Well, what does that mean to you? I'll tell you what it means to me, but I'm really interested in what Jesus is teaching you about this scripture.
Right, right. And I think for parents, if you're listening to this podcast and curious about this book, you may have a child that maybe has Asperger's or some sort of a learning disability or that kind of thing. Talk to us a little bit about that caveat of it, Debbie.
Very easily. One of the things that I've learned in my own journey is, and I don't understand this, but there is a difference between academic intelligence and spiritual wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And God gives every child enough spiritual wisdom to follow him all the way home. Mm-hmm. I am absolutely dedicated to that belief. But there are some things we can do. For example, and this would be true not just of children with any specific special need, the Bible is a hard book for children to read.
Mm-hmm.
It came to us by oral tradition to begin with. So to perpetuate that oral tradition is very good. But there are also ways to use some really good resources in pre-readers, in controlled vocabulary Bible story books that don't enlarge upon the story in some fictional ways, but truly try to get the essence of the Bible within the reading ability of children. That's just one way to meet some special needs.
That's great. Debbie, can you give us some real-life practical examples of how children's workers and parents can partner together in increasing the faith of our children? We talked about this a little bit earlier.
Right, and to increase the faith sometimes means that the children are going to lead us, because they don't really have any problem believing God's abundant promises. We're the slow learners there sometimes. So we need to have faith ourselves to trust the faith of a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I even talk about developing faith projects in a family or in a Sunday school class. I don't think we give our children enough experiences to do things by faith only. We're afraid. We've got to control it. We've got to make sure it's going to happen. We don't want them to have bad experiences. But we need to trust the faith of a child and let it grow the way God wants it to grow. So if a child says, you know, I think this is what God wants me to do, then we need to be on board with that. I always teach parents and ministry workers to use the sacraments to teach the story. We have these wonderful opportunities in worship through the Lord's Supper and through baptism to retell the story, to listen to our children's questions, to make sure they understand why we're doing this and the story that it tells.
Mm.
We also have an opportunity at Christmas and Easter to make sure that the way we celebrate those times retells the story, and we work into our family traditions the things that will help children know the story.
Mm-hmm.
That grows the faith of a child too.
Sure, sure. And as I hear you speaking, I think, okay, we come from a Judeo heritage, a Jewish heritage. What's the key thing of the Jews? Telling the story over and over and over again. When Shabbat rolls around and the sun goes down and the candles are lit, the story is told, the prayers of thanksgiving continue to go on and on.
And wouldn't it be wonderful if we lit some candles in our own homes and gathered around the candle to have each person in an extended family share their faith story?
Mm-hmm. That would be fantastic. That would be fantastic. Part of the ritual, if you will, of a weekend in preparation for Sabbath for the Christians would be that element. That's awesome. Well, it seems like that parents are filled with all kinds of questions these days, and I guess I want to back up with this question. Part of the title, Extraordinary, we're assuming in this that the parent wants an extraordinary faith, and I think anybody who picks up this book they themselves as a parent are allowing themselves to be stretched and so on and so forth. But there are roadblocks, maybe some potholes in the way. If that parent would like to lead their child to an extraordinary faith, and some of those things are questions like, when is my child old enough to make a decision for Christ? Or how early should I be telling them about the death and resurrection of Jesus? What advice do you have for beginning parents about when to start with their child in this extraordinariness of their faith?
When I work with young parents, parents that are expecting, let's say, their first child, they are filled with prayers for that child. Over and over again. I would not doubt that both parents pray daily for the development, the healthy development of that child. And what I'm saying is that as soon as the child is born, then we are filled with the responsibilities and the routines and the new awarenesses, and sometimes we lay aside those same intentional daily prayers. So that's where it begins. You know, Lord, make me aware of how you want to grow this child and help me partner with you. That's the first step.
Sure.
Then the step becomes just looking for the signs, the curiosities, making sure that the right kind of books are around, making sure they're getting out of a worship experience, a church attendance, exactly what is age appropriate for the child. From a toddler, as long as it's a happy place to be and people love the child, and that's the experience that the child takes away, that begins to grow. That's the first growing place for a child.
Right.
But it goes even farther. I can remember when our daughter was beginning to ask questions about what it meant to follow Jesus, that I began then seriously praying to know when the moment was right to take the story a little farther. Mm-hmm. Some parents are surprised by the questions, and it just happens so quickly they weren't even prepared for it. So you just have to be ready and watch for the signs.
Right, yeah. Couple more questions, and I want to carefully phrase this. You and I have been in ministry and have heard Christian parents say, you know, we've brought our kids to the church, we've brought them to Sunday school, we've taken them to this program, and they've gone on this mission trip, and all that we could ever hope for and all that we could ever dream of is that they just get it, is that they would just follow Jesus. And I think I understand what they're saying, Debbie. But way deep down, to me, it seems like, I want to say, brother, sister, it's got to be more than just hoping that they get it after they come to church. Does the book speak to the intentionality of just going beyond, I hope they get it?
Oh, yes. I believe it does. I believe it gives some hands-on practical ways of listening to sermons together and then talking about them. Well, what did you, and if they're not getting something out of it, going ahead with the other questions, why? Maybe there's a readiness issue there. Maybe there are other issues. Maybe there are other roadblocks that could be addressed. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's not enough interaction between the same kind of messages that they're hearing at church and at home. You know, maybe there needs to be some more continuity between the two. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that there it is more than just taking children to church and hoping they get it. It is asking the questions and allowing the same questions you ask your children, allowing yourself to be examined by those same questions.
I like that. Well, finally, in the writing of Raising Kids to Extraordinary Faith, which was encouraged and supported by the children's ministries of the Department of the Church of the Nazarene, what was the message that you hoped that parents and Sunday school teachers alike would ultimately grasp from this book?
The ultimate message is that every parent, every ministry worker is a part of the discipling process of a child. It's not just one person's responsibility. Yes, it starts in the home, and by biblical mandate, we're not going to change that, but it is supported by every influencer that children have anywhere. So it is a partnership, mm-hmm. and it's not adding more time. It's using the time you have in more intentional ways to open your life of discipleship with your children, and allowing them to have the freedom to have spiritual conversations with their parents and their ministry workers.
That's so good. Well, thank you, Debbie, for your time and for coming to speak about this. I think this is if you're listening today, this would be a good time here in 2009 to think about intentionally discipling your child at any point of the journey. Maybe you haven't been real intentional and your child is in their teen years now, or perhaps you're listening to this and you're expecting your very first baby or another baby in the family. At any point in the journey, I would encourage you to log on to Beacon Hill Books, www.beaconhillbooks.com, or log on to www.nph.com and look for Debbie's book, Raising Kids to Extraordinary Faith, and check out that book, purchase that book, and see what it can't do in your family as you raise your children. Thanks for listening, and God bless.